Yeah, as much as I would like to play music all night and avoid my fear of speaking to you guys, we're going to move away. But good evening, everybody. It's good to see everybody here. And in Ephesians 4:2, talks of forbearing one another, putting up with one another in love, and that's me. And I know, I appreciate y'all putting up with me and my fear of speaking, and it's getting a little better, but when I do speak, I tend to get carried away sometimes. The Southern Baptist in me sometimes comes out, and I just get carried away. But anyway, I'm going to be continuing in on my Ephesians to a degree, but we're going to start out with a little branch off and speak a little bit about one that part of my study last week. And let's go to the Lord in prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. As always, I can't thank you enough, Lord, but thank you for being with us, Lord, and being with those that are here, and Lord, be with those that wish they were here. And Lord, we thank you for those that might be grabbing this at a later date and listening to it. We thank you, Lord, and we know that you directed them to us. And Lord, I ask that you be with me as I deliver this message in the hopes that it brings nothing but edification and love that you teach that we should teach one another in that. And all these things I ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. And good evening again, saints. And Candy and I want to thank all y'all for remembering us in your prayers while we were vacationing. It was enjoyable, but we could still feel your prayers. And we was told that there was a couple that were not really praying that we enjoy ourselves. Well, to Mike and Lori, well, you can't hide it. We know it was you. We just want you to know that your prayers are pretty good. They're pretty stout because it rained on us the first week we were there. And half of us were being thankful for the rain and everything that it brought us, and the other half was whining and complaining about the rain. Well, I'm not going to say who the whiner was, because if I did, Ronnie would take away my man card away from me. But anyway, but it was a very enjoyable trip, and we wished you all were there, and it would just be great if we could all get together and go to such a lovely place and visit. I just minimized something to start my recorder. I got to get it back up here. There. Okay, let's read a verse from Jeremiah 9:23 to start this out. I haven't read that in a while. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this. He, God, understandeth and knoweth me. Or let me understand God and know him. That I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. In my continuing study in Ephesians, last week I went over Ephesians 6, 20, 19, 6:19, and for me, that the utterance may be given that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. And the entire message was basically coming out with seven points of the mystery. And in those 7 points, the first was to the unsearchable riches in Ephesians 3:5-9. The second one was to be chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. It was in Ephesians 1:4. The third was to be in the hope of His calling as being adopted sons. Ephesians 1:5-10. The fourth was being members of the church, which is His body, and Him being the head. Ephesians 1:17-21. Colossians 1:16-18. In Colossians 3:10. And then the one new man was number 5. Ephesians 2:11-16. Colossians 3:3-4. And then 6 was the heavenly hope at the appearing of Christ. Colossians 1:1-5. I didn't post. I tried to post it. And the 7th one is in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Those were the 7 points that I expounded on to bring forth what the mystery is in simple terms for anybody like myself that could probably understand it a little better. And while I was expounding on the new man in Ephesians 2:11-16, I got the Baptist came out in me, and I kind of jumped over the middle wall of partition, and I want to go back to that for just a minute. So let's turn Ephesians 2:14, and we're going to start our study there to explain what the middle wall of partition is, and so maybe make the twine that I have even more confused, because I've done some studying. And when I got to this point last time, I didn't mention what Paul's emphasis was concerning this middle wall of partition as far as the notes are concerned with the CB. Now, the CB explains this middle wall, and this is the only place it's the middle wall of partition is that is the type is seen in stone pastelate about 3 cubits high, which separate the court of the Gentiles from the court of the Jews, to pass which was death to any Gentile. A notice of which Josephus speaks about. Well, this is a short wall that's about 4 feet high. I forgot to set something up, but hold on a second, guys. I was supposed to do this before I started. It's actions. Play a video. Hold on. Actions. Play a video. I think it's this one. Okay, I put a video on. Let's see if this is it, if y'all can see it. Now what this is Solomon's temple right here. And if you look, hope you can see it. It looks blurry to me. In my attempt to show the example, it looks like a fence to the out of the temple, and that fence is basically what Paul is alluding to, or at least that's what the CB note is alluding to here, that has been torn down, because no Gentile could pass through this particular fence because it would mean sudden death. There were signs posted around this wall that would mean death to any Gentile that would come through this wall. Now, let me get back to my note. I was organized, I promise. But so in Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he is our peace, who made both one, and the middle wall of the fence broke down." Now that's the interlinear version. It calls it a fence. But the CB notes is, "For he is our peace, who having made both one, and having destroyed the middle wall of partition." And naturally, this both one is the new man. No more Jew and no more Gentile, but one new man. And to my newly teaching experience, I failed to mention that this middle wall was what I just explained it to you. And I kind of overdid that and said that this wall is abolished, done away with, and now the new man, one new man, us, the church, have total and full access to God. And I still feel that way, but I just failed to explain Scripture in the way that it Okay?
Yeah.
Do y'all got me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Hello? Okay. Kid, this is where the stone from the temple is. Okay. That don't help me. Now, I said a lot of things like that.
Barn.
Gave my notes. So this might have to be carried over to next week. But let's see. Put my notes together. What? The middle wall partition warning stone. I said warning stone? I guess y'all saw the video on that. Did I get into... I guess y'all got me. Okay. Well, let's start in Ephesians 2:15 and explain the middle wall. You got Ephesians 2:15. Well, did you get the 1 Kings 6:21? Thus created. No, you didn't get into that. Okay, well, the middle wall, Lori, call me again if y'all lose me, okay? This is the first time this has happened. Well, this middle wall, or partition, is used only in the New Testament here, but the word partition is used also in 1 Kings 6:21. And 6:21. And here the partition is used in the sense of being over the tabernacle, inside the tabernacle. Oh, Ronnie, you're getting good. Okay, I won't even try to post. That was good. That was pretty quick, man. Okay. So in Ephesians 2:15, the Apostle Paul is in fact alluding to the wall around the temple or the fence, because in the interlinear, he talks of it being a middle wall of the fence broken down. Well, this middle wall or fence being broken down, this partition, the partition itself is also used in 1 Kings, as you see. In 1 Kings, it plainly explains the entire making of the temple and how Solomon overlaid gold with the wood and such. He overlaid it with gold. And here, so Solomon laid the house with pure gold, and he made a partition by the chains of gold before the oracle. And the oracle is the holiest of all, the Holy of Holies. So, in my mind, now this is Tony's statement, in my mind, this veil, because it's used elsewhere as a veil, is just used here in 1 Kings as the temp, as a partition. Now, the Hebrew word partition here is albar. It's number 5674, and the primitive root is to cross over. It's used 493 times in the Old Testament with 62 different phrases, but only one time is used as partition. But in my mind, I'm putting the two together, okay? This is just me as a learned student. I'm putting the partition here, and I'm using it in Paul's, where Paul is using it in Ephesians 2:15. And I'm saying to myself, well, in Ephesians 2:15, this is spoken in past tense as it has already happened. And it says, having abolished. It's already done. It's a done deal. So in Tony McCurry's mind, he just done away with the fact of the actual wall that it's possible that Paul is speaking about here. And in my mind, I'm just automatically putting it as the veil that was rent that would go between the holiest of all, the Holy of Holies, and God now has given access. And this access is given to the church of His body. The one new man has access to God. And when I was giving my mysterion points and number 5, the one new man, I was going through Ephesians 2 and speaking on having the wall broken down, new man having total access, the middle wall being broken down, and I was using the veil being rent, which it speaks of in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and also in Hebrews. But that's to get that corrected, because to be a good teacher, of which I really would like to do, and I'm still learning, and I appreciate y'all's patience, but to be a good teacher, we have to explain the mindset of the writer and also the interpretations. And then to go on down further to my point, we read on down from 2:15 throughout the Ephesians 2, and we'll read 2:16, and that he might reconcile both, as Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and what a and them that were nigh. And 18, for through him we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now this statement right here basically says what I feel as far as the one new man having total access to God. 2:18, for through him, Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, one new man, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, well, with the saints and of the household of God. And this is the only place fellow citizens is used. We are one, you man, fellow citizens, Jew and the Gentile. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone. And this, now it gets into that is now. We have the tabernacle in the wilderness. We have Solomon's temple. We have Herod's temple. Now we have the one new man. The temple that is the one new man, us. And I'll probably have to clarify that one. And 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. And 22, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And that kind of, in my mind, clears up my comings of the middle wall of partition. And I appreciate y'all bearing with me while I explain that, because I do want to be a teacher properly, giving forth the word. And to get back to my Ephesians 6 study, and I'll be going into Ephesians 6:20, and this might overrun for a few minutes, but that's all right. Y'all just bear with me. Ephesians, last time I did Ephesians 6:19, and that'll lead into Ephesians the rest of my study. And 19 says, and for me the utterance may given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and to make known the mystery of the gospel. This is the Apostle Paul asking the prayer. He says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, in the interlinear it says I'm ambassador in chain. Well, bonds and chain is slightly different in the fact that ambassadors were held inviolable by the law of nations, and could not, outrage to every sacred right, be put in chains. Yet Christ's ambassador is in a chain. The Greek is singular, and the Romans used to bind prisoners to a soldier by a single chain. And we know that in Acts 28:16-20, that he was bound with this chain. And in other times, he was plural, as in 26:29, where his feet were bound together. Where the plural marks are distinction, the singular is used of the particular kind of custody described above. Now, in therein, the ambassador, the first, an ambassador is the first and the chief of the assembly. So Paul was the ambassador that in bonds, that he may speak boldly as he ought, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Now, Tychicus isn't mentioned but a few times in Scripture, but the apostle knows that Tychicus was familiar with Ephesians, with Ephesus, and because he's named in association with Trophimus in Acts 24, and that he was probably in Ephesians in Acts 21:29, Ronnie. Let's see, Acts. I didn't have it printed out here. 29. For they had seen before. See, I got it written down. 21:29. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus and Ephesians, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. I'm assuming that's tying him with Tychicus. And that ye also, where it speaks of in 6:21, that ye also may know my affair. So as well as other churches to whom Paul communicated the dealings of both God and man, you know, shall make known to you all things. Tychicus, a beloved brother, we learn in Acts 24, and are accompanied with him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. Tychicus was of Asia, and that he was a useful and companion of Paul, and that speaks of in Acts 24. This same person, and with the same character and commendation is mentioned in the epistle to the Colossians in 4:7, and he's also mentioned in Titus 3:12 and 2 Timothy 4:12. And from all these places, it's evident that he was a person in whom the apostle had the highest confidence, and that he was a very eminent minister of Christ. So Tychicus, you could say, was a silent body member that went around telling the saints of Ephesus or wherever he was about Paul's betterment, how he was doing, and such. In Ephesians 6:22, it's speaking of Tychicus, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye may know my affairs, know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. So Tychicus was a minister to him. In Colossians 4:8, it says of Tychicus, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. It's the same, almost verbatim, word for word, of that in 6:22. Tychicus, like I said before, was a silent partner in Christ to minister to the Ephesians. And in 6:23, it says, peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Christ. Peace was mentioned at the first of the Scripture. Now it's used at the end of the letter, or the letter, and now it's used at the end of the letter. In 6:24, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And in sincerity, it literally uncorruptness or in incorruption. Note is not as the English version, but with an immortal, constant love, so that nothing can draw them off from the love of Christ. So the whole thing centers around Christ. And that'll finish up my series that I had in Ephesians, maybe, since I tend to go back and forth throughout, and the more I do, the more solid I get in God's Word. And I appreciate y'all for putting up with me and allowing me to learn, even through my fear of speaking to you guys, because of your knowledge. And I thank God for you, and I guess that'll be it for tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in the past, for all that you're doing today, and for all that you're going to do in the future. Lord, I ask that you search the hearts of those that are listening in, and be with them, Lord. Be with those that need comfort. Be with me as I'm constantly searching for truth, Lord, and be one that wants to know the truth. And Lord, we thank you for Christ, Lord, for that he did for us. And we thank you for that setting aside that you did from before the foundation of the world, Lord, for that heavenly hope at the appearing, and Lord, for just coming into our life, giving us the hope of glory. For it's in Christ's precious holy name I pray. Amen.